What if the earliest account of Jesus' life wasn't trying to give us history in the way we think of it, but something far more radical? What if it was written by someone we've never considered? And what if this urgent, sometimes difficult story has something crucial to say to us about following Jesus today? I'm Jay Voorhees, and this is Walking in the Way of Jesus. Welcome to the first episode of Walking in the Way of Jesus, a journey through Mark's Gospel. I'm Jay Voorhees. I'm a United Methodist pastor and a student of the Bible for over 40 years. And I'm grateful you've chosen to join me on this journey through the earliest account we have of Jesus' life and ministry. Now, over the next several months, we'll be walking together through Mark's Gospel, story by story, using the Common English Bible as our text. This is not a hurried march through familiar territory, but rather a slow walk, where we pause to notice what Mark wants us to see and to consider what it means to follow Jesus in our own time and place. Before we dive into the text or the story itself, we need to spend a few minutes understanding what we can know about this gospel, this story of Jesus, and why it matters so much. The truth is, we don't really know who wrote Mark's gospel. The text doesn't tell us the author's name. Early church tradition said it was John Mark, a friend of Paul and Peter, but that's just guessing. What we know for sure is that this gospel was written by someone who understood both the urgency of Jesus' message and the reality of suffering in the early Christian community. Mark, along with Matthew and Luke, tells us the story of Jesus in very similar ways. These three books share much of the same material. They often tell the same stories with similar details. Mark's gospel is generally considered the oldest. It was written about 65 to 70 CE, and it comes before Matthew and Luke by at least 10 years. And this timing is important. Most scholars now agree that Mark served as a source for both Matthew and Luke's story of Jesus. They didn't just copy Mark, of course. They added to it and changed it for their own communities. But they clearly found Mark's account compelling enough to use it as their foundation. Now think about what this means. The earliest written account we have of Jesus' life focuses not on his birth. In fact, Mark doesn't even mention Jesus' birth at all, which is something we'll think about in another episode. But it focuses instead on his actions, his conflicts with religious and political authorities, and ultimately his death and resurrection. Mark's Jesus is constantly moving, urgently announcing that God's kingdom has come near and calling people to follow him no matter the cost. Now, understanding when and why Mark was written helps us read it better. This gospel came from a community in crisis. Whether in Rome during the persecution of Christians in 64 CE, or in Palestine during the Jewish War of 66 through 70 CE, Mark's first readers were facing real persecution. And you can hear this reality throughout the gospel. Jesus repeatedly tells his followers that he must suffer and calls them to take up their crosses. The disciples consistently fail to understand what following Jesus actually costs. And the gospel ends, at least in its original form, not with triumphant appearances of the risen Christ, but with women fleeing the tomb in fear and amazement. This was a community that needed to know that their suffering made sense in God's bigger story. They needed to hear that their crucified Messiah was not a failure, but the very way God shows power through weakness. Now, here's something crucial to understand. Mark is not writing history the way we think of history today. That doesn't mean that Mark's account is made up. but it does mean that we need to read it on its own terms. Mark is trying to answer the question, who is Jesus, and what does his life, death, and resurrection mean for us? Mark shaped his material to address the particular needs of the community that he was writing to. When we read about Jesus calming the storm, we're not just getting a weather report. We're hearing Mark say that Jesus has power over the chaos that threatens our lives. When we read about Jesus healing on the Sabbath, we're hearing Mark declare that God's compassion is more important than religious rules. As we move through this gospel together, you'll notice Mark's style. Mark uses the word immediately over and over again, creating a sense of urgency that moves us quickly through the story. Mark also gives us disciples who are not heroes. They consistently fail to understand Jesus. They abandon him when he needs them most and generally show us how not to follow. And yet Jesus keeps calling them, keeps teaching them, keeps loving them. For a community facing their own failures and fears, this would have been deeply encouraging. As we journey through Mark's gospel together, we'll encounter challenging passages alongside familiar ones. We will wrestle together with difficult questions about what it means to follow Jesus in a world marked by injustice and suffering. Each episode will focus on a particular passage, giving us space to sit with the text and listen for what God might be saying to us today. Some weeks will be more challenging than others. Mark does not shy away from difficult subjects, from economic inequality to the cost of following Jesus. But that's precisely why this story remains so relevant. So, let's begin this journey together with open hearts, ready to be surprised by what we discover about Jesus, about ourselves, and about what it means to walk in the way of Jesus. Next week, we'll dive into Mark's very first verses, where we will explore how Mark introduces his story and what it means that there are no birth stories in this account of Jesus' life. And until then, may you know the peace that comes from trusting in God's love, even when the way forward isn't clear. Thanks for joining me on Walking in the Way of Jesus. I'm Jay Voorhees, and I'll see you next time.